Confusion. That means rajas. No, that means tamas, and a little spicing of rajagun is there. You're not just only disturbed, you are confused. You know, this is very, 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 very the state is that the Buddha, the song should go, I'm so dazed and so mudha. The third stage of the mind is something which is particularly disturbing, or which we will work on during this day. It's called vichipta. It means diverted. The Sanskrit sound is somehow the vichipta. It means diverted. For instance, when I have a very vata mind, I hear that there's a radio outside going, and my mind was distracted there, diverted. Sometimes, you know, our minds may be steady, but then they are drawn away. This means rajagun is working on us, that mode which moves things, moves our mind away. The fourth stage is something which I saw some of you attaining yesterday. It's called ekagra. Ekagra means the mind is steady. Krishna describes this in the Gita as by giving an analogy. He gives the analogy of a flame which is in a windstill location. The mind of a transcendentalist can somehow come to this stage that he is, that it is still. But this only happens when the mind is in an isolated situation, or when the person sits in a peaceful environment. Therefore, if you wish to chant, it is necessary to have a peaceful environment, and I believe really this environment here is very peaceful. It's very good for what we have in mind. It takes sometimes those who are accustomed to dwell in the city, the mind is asking, where is all the things I hear usually, and all the it takes some time. Most of the people in this age cannot stand peace any longer because they are so much accustomed to the constant influence. You know, everywhere they now have radio. If the radio doesn't blare, people feel something is missing. Very often I have heard in families the TV is running from morning till evening in German families, just so that there is some good atmosphere for living. Good, I'm putting it in the brackets. So ekagra means that your mind is calm and peaceful as long as you live in external conditions. However, when you are surrounded by disturbances, the mind will get agitated again. This state refers to a state where a devotee or a person is in the mode of goodness. That mode of goodness he will be able to be function very nicely. His mind will be ekagra. But if some external environments, if the environment changes, then everything will be gone, and he will most probably come to the first to the vikshipta state, the diverted state, then he will become to the muda state, and finally to the chipta state, disturbed. There is a state which is there when you attain Krishna consciousness. It's the fifth state, it's nirudha. Fully controlled. At that stage, the material mind is inactive. It has transcended the modes of nature. And you are situated on the stage of Vishuddha Sattva. I knew one god brother of Srila Prabhupada, for whom I had the great and still have the greatest respect. It is Bhakti, His Holiness Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He has left his body about 5 years ago, I believe, or was it 6 years ago? And he used to be the secretary of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and wrote many lectures down which Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave. He was a transcendentalist who would always chant 64 rounds each day in his life. He was a very realized soul. When he became old, he went to Jagannath Puri because the climate suited him, and his last days were spent in his temple. Now, next to his room in the temple was a tea stall. Do you know what an Indian tea stall means? One song after the other, you know, from the tape recorder. Sanyasi, come home. You know, the Indian, absolutely kitsch music. And with a volume that it can just rip your eardrums into a thousand shreds, you know, so loud. So he would have his window open and there would be the sound. He would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It was so loud in his room, you can't imagine from this song. And devotees asked him, Oh Maharaj, this is very loud. How can you say, what loud? My chanting is loud. He didn't hear it. It was not, maybe he heard it, but it was not disturbing for him. Because his mind was on the transcendental platform, fifth state of consciousness. Wouldn't it be nice, my dear devotees, if we would be on that stage? Imagine Gaurahari. Sundarananda. Absolutely, isn't it? Our Majesties, Ayatakshi. Ayatakshi is a yogini and she has already a very controlled mind. But, Krishna, sometimes we are not on the Niruddha stage. Niruddha, yes. Toy Niruddha. Toy Niruddha. But, my dear devotees, this concentration on the holy name is something which we can learn. It is possible. There is a verse in the Kuma Purana which supplies us with a very interesting information about this absorption or concentration. When you are able to concentrate your mind steadily on one point for 12 seconds, it is called dharana. Should I make an experiment with you if you can do that? You would have to think about the light of the candle or just something, you know. And then I would try to divert you. But you would all start to laugh so much that maybe I do it at another time when you are more tired and I need to wake you up. Yeah. So if you can be concentrated for 12 seconds, then this is called dharana. If you have 12 such dharanas, that's 144 seconds, then this is called dhyana or meditation. When you can, in other words, have your mind still for 144 seconds, how much is that? That's 2 minutes. 2.5 minutes. Then it's meditation. You enter the stage called dhyana. Dharan is just concentration. That is, if you are there for 12 seconds. Zack. You made it. Now, when you can come into a state where you are not disturbed by what goes on externally, and you may remain concentrated for time of 25 minutes and 28 seconds, then you have entered samadhi, full samadhi, full samadhi, Krishna consciousness. Haridas Thakur was in this state. He was so much concentrated on chanting, the people whipped him. For 20, how many marketplaces? 22 or 24. They whipped him, and then when they couldn't kill him, they said, oh, now the king will punish us for not doing our job properly. Please save us. And then Haridas Thakur went into a deeper state, samadhi, where he just stopped all external connection with his body and just fell down on the floor. Samadhi, full samadhi. They tried to lift him and bring him somewhere, but he was as heavy as a mountain and could not be moved. He was in samadhi. That's a state of consciousness. When you attain it, you will also be physically unmovable and mentally unmovable. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about these states which come from the yoga psychology, and he talks about this in reference to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes when I do in my workshops some yogic exercises, it's necessary for you to understand what we have in mind. We want to show you a part of reality, but it's not that we want to encourage you necessarily to do all these exercises. It just serves an educational purpose. It may be good for you when you become older to do regular something for your health, but that is something else. For our enlightenment in our life, we are on the bhakti yoga process. We do not require the jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga or karma yoga practice. But Prabhupada has described in one of his books, let me see from where is this, it is in a lecture about bhakti yogis, and it's very interesting. You can imagine Prabhupada is sitting here now. those bhakti yogis whom we are teaching in Krishna consciousness, that's you, you are a bhakti yogi. They are the topmost yogis. Now, why is Prabhupada calling you the topmost yogi? Yes, because they are being trained to draw the engagement of the senses from anything outside Krishna consciousness. They are trying to draw the senses from everything and applying it in Krishna. Now Prabhupada will give us an example what it means in our daily life of Krishna consciousness to bring, to withdraw the senses from everything outside of Krishna. Just like we are trying to chant Hare Krishna. Note how Prabhupada said, we are trying to chant Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, that means we withdraw our mind from all other engagements and try to engage my mind and ear on the sound vibration of Krishna. Krishna, being the Absolute Truth, is not different from His name. In the Absolute world, there is no relativity. Therefore, Stoga, therefore, when you concentrate your mind on the sound vibration of Krishna, that means you are concentrating on the Absolute Truth. And that is the process of yoga. Somebody may think, here, there is no bodily exercise. Here means in the movement, huh? No breathing exercise. How have they become yogis? But real yoga means to concentrate the mind on Vishnu. Jnanavastita tat gatena. So the original form of Vishnu is Krishna. You know everything. And therefore, concentration of the mind on Krishna, even by vibration, is the highest form of yoga practice, because there is no difference of identity between the vibration of the name of Krishna and life dedicated for Krishna's service. Krishna. So, as in Krishna consciousness, we are actually have entered a school of yoga where we learn to withdraw our mind and our senses from everything else than Krishna. This is called dharana in the yoga practice, or full concentration. And the workshops today, which are very interesting and very nice, easy actually to make. The workshops today are meant we will actually learn some concentration techniques. Now it's very interesting that once Prabhupada was told by one of his disciples that it's very difficult to control the restless mind during japa chanting. Who experienced this phenomenon from time to time? We all. So it is very interesting what was Prabhupada's answer when the disciple said, Guru Maharaj, I can't concentrate my mind. Prabhupada used to answer, what is the use of controlling the mind? You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? When we get our technique together, I will play this to you, how Prabhupada speaks. It's really like, what? What? You say, you have I heard this correct? You have said, what is the question of the mind? That's my whole life question. See, when Prabhupada says, you just chant and hear, that's all. He speaks from his platform, where when a devotee hears the holy name of Krishna, his mind will just run to Krishna and stick with Krishna. The state of Bhava, it described how the devotee, he's totally mad after Krishna. He walks on the road. This was in medieval India, when there were still deers around. Deers means Jelenka. Yelena. Yelena is a woman's name. Yelen, yes. When there were Yelens around. So the devotee sees the Yelen passing by on his left side, and he thinks, oh, today Krishna is certainly very merciful for me because the Jalan has passed on my left side. Then he meets some Brahmin boys and asks, do you think Krishna will give me his mercy today? When the little boys say no, he becomes extremely thoughtful and thinks about the hidden meaning of this no. You know, he's mad after Krishna. He can only... Krishna is everything for him. So, yes, on such a state, what is the question of the mind? The mind is already there. Unfortunately, we are not always on this stage because this could happen if our mind is very pure. So, Prabhupada has... at other times spoken about the dynamics of mind control. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So you can see, when you can be in rapt attention, that means fully concentrated, like this for the holy name, then, my dear devotees, Krishna will appear in your mind. So if you want this to happen, you have to follow the four rules and regulations in terms to eating, sleeping, mating and defending, because whatever you do will influence your mind. And then when you are pure in your action, you can be pure in the mind, and when you are pure in the mind, only then you can concentrate on Krishna. That's why when we are initiated into the chanting of the holy name, we are initiated also we have to follow 16 rounds, and with full attention, and that's only possible if we are pure in action. So therefore we have these four rules and regulations which regulate our lives. We should be, as if we want to go deeper in our chanting, a little bit more in the detail. A little while ago, I was in a country, I will not tell you the name, and we were driving with devotees in the bus, and when the bus stopped, all the devotees went to the kiosk. I was in the forest at that time, answering a call of nature, and I saw they were all going in the kiosk and coming out with this absolutely impure kami food and starting to eat it. Some of the things had animal products in it, and everything else was made by just non-devotee. And I had a shock. I almost could not continue easily my process. because no one had ever told them this. That was very irresponsible to not tell them this. It's very important if you want purity in your mind, to really be pure in your actions. That's very important. And there is no cheating. You have to also see after some time, if you advance, about all the mental things where you break mentally the rules and regulations. If you do that intentionally and don't stop your mind, when the mind goes into the cinema of the material life, and you don't go out of that cinema, that will leave a very bad impression on you. And it will be difficult for you to pay full attention. So we will have one last point. Obviously, if you hear this, you all of a sudden discover this deep dimension of Krishna consciousness, which is waiting for you to be explored. Yesterday, when we sat before the ocean and you spoke so nicely about what you can learn from the ocean, some of you said it's very deep and undisturbed and it holds treasures inside. I know there are pearls. Yesterday there was one octopus. That was a treasure for the zoological gardens. So Krishna consciousness has also these treasures inside of us. And I really want to encourage you to go deeper in your spiritual life so that you can find these treasures. My dear devotees, if we do not find the treasures of Krishna consciousness in our life, we will be again attracted to the material world. And again, we will use this valuable human form of life for things which doesn't bring us back home, back to Godhead. Again, we will fail in our real mission of life. It will be as if we have gotten, if the cage from the material world opened, but then one step before we went into freedom, we turned around and went back into the cage. This is not very nice. It is not very, it will not make us very happy. It will not bring us to where we need to go. So to come to the deeper stages of Krishna consciousness, there's only one word, practice. A very nice young devotee said, when you want to go and open a restaurant, there are three points which are important. Location, location and location. If you want to become a scholar, then three other points are important. Focus, focusirate. You must focus your mind. Now, if you want to become a spiritualist, there are also three essential rules. Practice, and I think you know the third rule by now. Practice. You have to practice. You remember in that in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna talks about mind control, and Arjuna finds it very, very difficult. He gives an example: to control the raging mind is as difficult as to control the raging storm. Imagine yesterday night when the storm came, we would have told Govindanandan, who's very sportive, please go out and control the storm, you know, just catch it. Even Govindanandan would not have been able to do it, I guarantee it. So Arjuna gives this example to describe that it is actually impossible for him to control the mind. This is his opinion. And he asks Krishna what to do. And Krishna says, it's undoubtedly... Sorry. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. But it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Suitable practice, says Prabhupada in his purport, means to engage in the nine types of devotional service to the Lord. First and foremost, such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. When you chant, you hear. This is a very powerful transcendental method for freeing the mind of all misgivings. Misgivings means bad things. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Then Prabhupada says, hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind. From the transcendental position, from that perspective, we are mad. I will not say it so loud, so that no one objects. Mad. We have forgotten Krishna. Just like a person I saw in Vrindavan, he was very... came from Germany. I did know his family. They were living next to us in Hamburg, and he had become mad, and he was going in the garbage and eating the garbage, rotten things, and he was fighting with the pigs and the dogs. So we have turned our face away from Lord Krishna, and we are now engaged with our mind in the shadow of reality, the material world, and it's a serious thing to bring back the mind to Krishna. It requires practice and also detachment. Detachment means to say no to certain activities. It's a disciplined action, actually. And practice. So today is a very serious day. Today we will enter into the realm of practice by giving some very nice tours. I'm very much looking forward to this day. You will not believe what you will hear. As some of you have noticed, the retreat is becoming a little bit more serious now. We are, I don't know if you were ever on retreats where you learned. I learned once, I was in a retreat maybe 10 years ago. And I learned to meditate. Oh, it was intense, you know. We had to get up at 4 o'clock. You know, they really made sure that all the conditions were there. The simplest of food, only one preparation, sometimes only a hand of peanuts. And then you were not allowed to speak for one whole week. Krishna. And you could not even communicate with the eyes. And you would sit the whole day and meditate. And when your leg was paining, you were told, don't move. Just put your consciousness there where it pains. And if you learn this, the blood will flow again. And we did it. It worked. It works very nice. It was practice. We won't do such things with you. We have nice prasadam, wonderful, luxurious environment, hot and warm showers. The dream of all German tourists to be at the Adria. Everything is arranged for your absolute comfort. But what is necessary is that you keep yourself fit for the practices, for the exercises which we will do. And maybe some of us who are living a very exhaustive lifestyle might need to rest a little bit more, and so on. So I've come to the end. Oh, I'm so punctual, I can't, what is wrong? Here's a mystical influence. Can you believe me? This is a success moment in my life. It's 2.5 minutes before 9 o'clock. And today we can go a little longer. Today there is an amazing thing which I personally don't understand. Maybe Venu Gopal can tell us about it. The breakfast today is between 10:36. I'm wondering, I always thought it is related to sunrise, but it is not. The TTs are.
No, it's when the titles are actually changing. And it's not according to sunrise.
The TTs are changing. TTs are.
When the Kamashri is going to
When Ekadasi goes to Dwadasi, it's their own rules, not the sun rule. Okay. So we will have a little bit more time to share. You can take Ekadasi food now if you wish, that which we ate yesterday. But we have cooked wonderful grain preparations for you, because I think we are a little hungry for grains also. So that preparations we can take from 10:36. You might like to chant a little bit up to that time. Or you might like to eat when the lecture is over, as you wish. But then you have to take Ekadasi Prasharvan. So I want to see now if you have some questions to this lecture, to this art of concentration. Hare Krishna, Tina. You're leaving us, or are you all together to Dubrovnik? You have not even started. Thank you. Next year, Pariti. Thank you for coming. Maybe we can give Tina some prasadam on the way. You have to quickly go to the ferry, isn't it? Thank you for coming. Tina took care of Radhanath Maharaj and myself when we were in Dubrovnik. Oh, I'm feeling very sad that you leave, Tina. But I'm feeling sad that you leave, but I understand, yes, you have to do the work in the hospital, yes. Okay, so any questions you have at this moment? Maditangi has one question. What is your good name? Shyamanandini Devidasi has a question. And our Devashi Narada, and our, please help me, I'm Nitai Daya Prabhu. Yes. So, Manitangi was our first devotee. Mm-hmm.
You were reading about the importance of purity in action, and I was wondering, what does it mean to be pure in fearing?
Pure in fearing. Very good question. Prabhupada said, in order to be very nice question. Let me get the quotation proper. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and meditating. Eating. The way I understand it is there are these four principles: eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. So Prabhupada here uses fearing for defending. So what does it mean to be pure in defending? That's a very, very, very deep question which is discussed in the Ramayana. I'm very happy that you asked this. See, we all need to defend ourselves a little bit. For instance, I have this pullover to defend myself or protect myself against the cold. It's not very cold, but the temperature. We need to build a house where we defend ourselves from the rain. And some defense is maybe necessary when someone is an aggressor in our life, either verbally or physically. But when you, in the name of defending or protecting yourself, become extreme, then this is not pure. Once Sita Devi asked Lord Ramachandra, what is this, the symptom of someone who is free from lust? An interesting question, isn't it? And Ramachandra's answer was, there were 3 points, but I remember this one point because it is related to your question. Someone who doesn't chastise or criticize unnecessarily. He's free from lust. It's a very deep answer, I believe. Huh? It's an answer we might like to think about. Someone who doesn't chastise or criticize unnecessarily. or you could say unnecessarily, the word out of proportion, you know. Unappropriately is another word. So, to defend, you know, you shouldn't do something unnecessarily. That would be impure. Mm-hmm. For instance, when we are criticized and we defend ourselves, oh no, no, and you are the Nidkov, that would be impure. Or if we go on a person, you know, who is under our protection, maybe a young bhakti in your case, and you go like, you this and you that, and you, they have no chance to go back home, back to Godhead, because you just ate too much. Look at you, and you know, that would be an impure reaction. Krishna. And there were other devotees, I remember. Syamanandini. What a wonderful name. Syamanandini.
Yes.
Wonderful. Please, Felici.
Maharaj, a little bit of wondering, the Niruddha, it's a full, means the full controlled mind. And there is a Lord Aniruddha. And usually we say, and it's something opposite.
This is something for the Sanskrit experts to answer. Mataji is asking, Nirudha means the fully controlled state of mind, which is there when one has transcended the modes of nature and is on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. So we say Anirudha. And A means aha, Anirudha. Let me just get the Sanskrit clear. Aniruddha, so it's uncontrolled. it sounds like uncontrolled, but let me just make it clear how we say Aniruddha. The Rudha is a different word. Nandini. Aniruddha is with one D, D-H, Aniruddha. And Niruddha is with double D, at least, as I think. One moment, I can tell you in a moment. 49, 50. Oh, Krishna. With numbers, I have to be in German because I'm very bad. And here. Niruddha, yeah, it's also with DH. I cannot, it's like Aniruddha, fully controlled. So Aniruddha would mean uncontrolled. Yes, it's the same word. You're right, it's not Niruddha. I cannot answer this question, but I know that we worship Aniruddha to control the mind. That I know. Yes. But I can't help you with the Sanskrit. I'm actually, I don't know if you know, but I'm, it would be nice for me to make a Sanskrit study, but my dear devotees, when you are 50 years old, it's very difficult to learn these things. You are all young. You should learn like anything. You should invest in your spiritual education if you want to do something wonderful in your life. This is your age is for learning. This is now the age. Two D's? Aniruddha? Double D. So it is a different word. Hare Krishna. There was, and I remember there were other devotees, Dayal Nitai, or Nitai Dayal, Nitai Daya. What do you mean with impure remembrance of Krishna? Contaminated. Yeah, but it's a different word. You mean to think in a strange way of Krishna? Very necessary to learn about Krishna from the parampara, from a channel where the real information is delivered and not a concocted illusory understanding of the Supreme. So, but you are learning in a parampara, Nitai Daya, you're learning in a parampara, and the pure concept of Krishna is presented to you regularly and daily. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, to think of Krishna may not mean for a devotee that he thinks 24 hours of Krishna, in that sense that he thinks then Krishna did this, Krishna did that, this, or this is the thing. The way he thinks 24 hours of Krishna is that he does service for Krishna, that he sings for Krishna, that he dresses for Krishna, that he, like that, huh? That he is mindful of Krishna in his activities. Yeah, but it because activities have to also take place, and if you think, you know, how can you do anything if you think about this and this and this and this and this and here his quality and here, you need to sit down to think. But still he says every day we should think of Krishna like that in a very concentrated way. That's important. But throughout the day we think about our service for Krishna and other things. So I believe that because you hear from Krishna from a pure source, that when you think of Krishna, you don't think of a concocted Krishna. If you do, you need to read more. We read. Why? Because we want to have something to think. And it's very simple. If we don't read, we don't have enough to think. Because, you know, we know the material world. We don't need to read about the material world to think of the material world. But we don't know the spiritual world very well, Madhuchandra. And therefore we need to read about it. Sometimes, you know, when we read about transcendental subject matter, our mind says, give me a break. And give me a pause, in the sense that, because, yes, the mind is made for working on the material, in the material thing. Only if the mind is more purified, you can sit the whole day and read. simple. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Like, already we are creating a sacred space. The Brahmanas have finally arrived to bless us. Hare, Hare. I know. So, and yeah, there was someone, I remember we had one fourth person. Devashi Narada Prabhu. Please, Reti. That's right, yeah.
So he, for me, all this time, during the lecture, go out with this...
The actor who was in the Dasharat. Yes. Thank you for... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses this example to tell that it's possible to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And he gives a second example about an assembly of devotees where the Ramayana was read, and one devotee began to become so absorbed in Hanuman's personality that he jumped up and jumped through the audience. Imagine Vikramakeshari would do this. Hanuman ki jai. Usually this would be considered impolite if you have an assembly and someone starts jumping. And you would think, well, don't jump on my foot, please, and so on. But in an assembly of devotees, this is considered to be extremely desirable. Now, don't imitate, you know, because someone is becoming absorbed in the subject matter. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that we should, that it's good to slowly come to this level. Anandini.
I'm thinking of when you were speaking about this yoga classification, concentration, meditation, and samadhi. And now I'm thinking if concentration lasts 12 seconds, it means actually. I mean, how it's connected when we chant the holy name, because it means maybe 2-3 mantras at the end. Mostly we can manage that, so it means mind is concentrated. And could you a little bit explain that?
Yes. The question is, we spoke about how from concentration comes meditation and then samadhi. Usually we can... So concentration was 12 seconds. That's called dharana, concentration, if you are able to hold your attention. So can you please elaborate how we can go further? Because most of us manage to do 12 seconds of concentration on the holy name. Yes. Oh yeah. Most of many times we hear or we say I can't concentrate, but according to this definition, 12 seconds is something which all of us can do, and then we are concentrated. After 12 seconds come another 12 seconds, and then come another 12 seconds, and then that's the beginning of concentration, which leads into meditation, which then leads into samadhi. So it's really like this. Your question is very, very good, Anandini. I will now answer the question directly. You can learn concentration. That will be my point in the workshop. I can tell you a little preview that obviously we would like to chant all our rounds without inattention, with full attention, which is the same as concentration. And that is possible when we are very pure, when we have love of Krishna in our heart. Someone who loves is always thinking of the beloved. We have a nice Grihastha couple in Frushka Goranga who gave us an example. They were really all the day with their little child. All the day. The child has a beautiful spiritual name and therefore will get a very high result. They chant so much the name. But as renunciants, we were naturally quite amazed how this is possible, this absorption of the mind in a child. It is possible because of the love which the mother feels for the child and which the father feels for the child. So how can we become absorbed in the holy name if we don't have love for Krishna, is the question. And you can't force love. Love Krishna Nandini, or love this person, or that person, doesn't go. But what you can practice is concentration. And when you get your foot a little into concentration, 12 seconds, even if you start with 6 seconds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 12 is possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I did. Would you also like to try it? One moment. So 12 seconds, we want to be concentrated. No. One, two, start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You did it. Who could concentrate? Good number. Yeah. Good number of you. So you did it. You were concentrated. So it's possible. You can force yourself or bring your mind by force to concentration. And now comes the trick. When you learn to chant with attention, that is more than 12 seconds, and it said we should chant with full attention, then slowly, slowly, you will see how the holy name will take out all the undesirable things out of the heart, which constantly bring us to distraction. And then you will be in the samadhi of the holy name one day. See, the holy name works on you when you try to concentrate, or when you chant without offenses. Now we know that all the offenses come from this not being with Krishna, being distracted. And if you can develop full attention while you chant, and it's a practice. Prabhupada told us in this thing that we try to chant Hare Krishna and we practice concentration on Krishna's holy name, then you will one day, you will actually experience how your mind gets purified, Anandini. Your heart will be purified. Then you will meditate. Means Krishna will come into your mind. Many devotees experience this. It's not any longer. We have now a movement which is older than 30, within 40 years, I believe.
It's 40 years, exactly.
It's 40 years. We have a 40-year-old movement, quite young in the history. But we have some older devotees who have this experience that Krishna is there, and they meditate about Krishna while they chant. Have I answered your question?
Yes.
Good. So I would like to now end this lecture. It's still 9:30, so we So you have to decide how you would like to take. Maybe some of you are so hungry that you would like to take just a little now, Ekadasi Prasadam, and 36, in 10:36 you can get your grains. And we will all meet. Devashi Narada, could you just look? Dobro. 12 o'clock is the workshop. That I think gives us a lot of time. You might also relax. Do whatever you wish. We will see each other at 12 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Gaur Nitai ki Go Premanandi.